Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Universal Narratives podcast. Our first theme focuses on the impact of the pandemic on teaching and learning all over the world. The first country that we will be focusing on is Saudi Arabia. Besides the great efforts that individuals and institutions have done to support learners and teachers in KSA during the pandemic, there are also leading organizations that have worked diligently to assist during the time of a crisis. Of these organizations is IMCAN in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Today, I will be speaking to Basma Bushnak, who is the CEO of IMCAN, to learn more about the impact of the pandemic as well as the role that her organization played at such a critical time. Welcome, Basma, to our podcast.
Hi, Salma. Thank you so much for having me.
So I would like to start by asking you to tell us a little bit about your experience and your background, and then we can move on and take it from there.
Sure. Of course, as you said, I'm the CEO of IMCAN Education. IMCAN is an educational consultancy and educational services company. My background is all in education. I studied special education in college and for my bachelor's, and I was specialized in gifted and talented education. And then I did my master's in curriculum pedagogy and assessment from the University of London. But also my thesis was in teacher training programs for gifted students in Saudi Arabia. That was really my interest. I've always known that I wanted to be in education, yani, since when I was in 12th grade in school. I felt that, you know what, there was something wrong with the system. So it needed fixing, but I don't know where to start from. And alhamdulillah, I was blessed that I always had the opportunity to study and work at a field that is my passion and that is deeply connected to my values.
That's great. Very nice, Basma. So as I mentioned, our theme is the pandemic. And I know, like, you know, all over the world, people have been, especially teachers and students in our classrooms, have been greatly impacted by the pandemic on teaching and learning. So my first question to you today would be, how has the pandemic affected teachers, especially in Saudi Arabia?
Well, of course, as you know, Salma, teachers all over the world, as you said, were affected. I think they were the first ones to be hit by the reality of first of all, school shutdown, and then going back to schools completely online, having to move to a technology and distant learning and online classrooms. Many, many of the schools, whether it was in Saudi, you know, there are government schools, which are the public schools, and you have private schools.
Yeah.
So maybe schools on both sectors, they weren't really ready. Yani, unfortunately, before the pandemic, schools would look at having technology as a luxury and not as an important tool in the 21st century to help you achieve high quality learning. So when the pandemic hit, the schools who already had or invested in a technical infrastructure or maybe an LMS or any kind of tech support were a little bit more prepared for what happened back in March 2020. Of course, the teachers, there would be any, there's a variety of teachers. From our experience in IMCAN, we did many projects that was concerned about teacher training and capacity building. So we know that in whether in public schools or private schools, teachers had different abilities in using technology. So you have the older teachers who yani didn't really use technology or didn't have to use technology. The maximum they were using was like using a YouTube video.
Yeah.
The class or even using PowerPoint. And you had also the very advanced teachers who used tools to create their own content. They used other platforms and, of course, the school's LMS to create these successful learning experiences for the teachers. So I think that's, that was the big difference that was happening. And, of course, it was on the school's leaders, whether the public and private, to be able to support the teachers. So I think when the pandemic hit and the schools shut down, they didn't really have the time to evaluate the teacher's skills, you know?
Yeah.
So they just had to throw them in the face of online learning. and then take it from there. So that was maybe the approach that that was used mostly by the Saudi Ministry of Education and also the schools. So definitely there was a big transition period for those teachers.
Yes.
And of course, it was up to the private sector and also non-profit sectors such as companies like Imkan and other platforms in Saudi that tried to support the teachers. And inshallah, we can talk more about that.
Great. So, you know, it's very similar in the US as well. New York was the epicenter at some point of the pandemic. And we just moved fully to remote learning. And it's very similar to the Saudi context in that some teachers were prepared and some teachers were not. But on the level of institutions, not all institutions like schools and universities were prepared to move to virtual learning. They did not have the training for the teachers. Not everybody was tech savvy. Not everybody was utilizing technology in their classrooms. It took them a long time to figure it out. And it's a matter of preparedness. And I'm hoping, you know, we'll touch more on this topic later on in our interview. Sure. So what are some of the challenges? You mentioned some of the challenges, but how were these challenges handled? What kind of supports do teachers receive right now during this health pandemic?
Yeah, so again, that's a very good question because support was offered in different ways, but maybe not publicly. Like, as I said, in the beginning, everyone was shocked. No one knew how would this situation, how long would it continue. People thought it's going to be for one semester, and then now it extended to 1 year here in Saudi. So I think in the beginning, it wasn't about, the support was just on the spot. So every school, every school principal, every school district had to make sure that just the teachers were just getting online and getting the students to get online. And as you said, trying to provide the infrastructure, you know, for the teachers, the devices, internet connection, having this platform in Saudi Ministry of Education. They invested in a platform called Madrasati or My School, which was covering the public schools all over from K up to 12th grade. They just, the first 3 months of the pandemic was all about just organizing everything, making sure that everyone has access to this platform. Everyone is online. They started, putting the numbers on. And then after that, I think they started to realize the kind of support the teachers need. So after teachers received, the infrastructure and internet and devices, they started, having other issues such as motivation, engagement, Zoom fatigue, work-life balance. Everyone was at home. Everyone was very anxious about the pandemic. People were getting the virus, students, teachers. So I think then they realized that the support that was needed is like moral and emotional support. That's for the public sector. And that's when they started to use, for example, media platforms and social media channels to motivate the teachers. So, for example, they would present or feature different stories of teachers in remote areas and how they are, trying their best to get the students online and following up with them daily on lessons in the platform. So they were really inspiring stories, but it took time for everyone to realize what's happening and what's really important back then. Yes. For private schools, of course, it was, as I said, getting the teachers' support in terms of training. There were definitely the schools trying to provide training for their teachers, not in how to use the platform or how to use the new tools such as Zoom or Teams or other devices, but also how to keep the students motivated, engaged, online classroom management. I remember these were some of the hot topics in the beginning of the pandemic.
Yes.
And this was the number one demanded training. For example, for us, we have different international schools and private schools that we're dealing with in Imkan and also our sister company, Anab. And they're always asking for that, not anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that was also the most important thing that they needed. Of course, just feeling appreciated from their leaders, of course, from the parents, because I think teachers were really under high pressure, especially from the parents, feeling that they have to try to fill in the gaps.
Yes.
Or fill in the void that was happening in the online classrooms, and the skills that were missed from being actually in school.
In the classroom, Okay, great. So So now that you have spoken a little bit about, you know, what kind of challenges and the kind of support, what is the role of the government or the Ministry of Education? Kind of role are they playing in teacher education now since the pandemic started? What kind of support in the form of like professional development maybe, or workshops or extra resources that is available to teachers? Let's just focus more on the Ministry of Education. I believe it's called Ministry of Education in Saudi. Right?
Yes, true. One of the most important things is that the ministry finally have started to approve the online profession development programs that the teachers are taking.
Okay.
So before the pandemic, any PD training program that the teachers would take from the Ministry of Education or any approved program has to be face-to-face. But then after the pandemic and of the situation, and the ministry realized that, you know, they needed to update their policies, especially in professional development. And
yes.
already teachers were seeking professional development programs online from sources other than the ministry.
Hmm.
So one of the important decisions that came out after the pandemic, maybe in 3 or 4 months, is the online professional development center from the ministry. And it was really a big achievement. And we were really relieved to see that because it really helped the teachers and also other education providers to be able to provide the teacher what they need, you know, because even now learning online is the easiest way to get the information you need, you know, whether it's a qualification or short course or a long-term course.
Yes.
So that was a great first step. And it really supported the teachers and encouraged them to move forward in getting and seeking professional development online. So I think that was a very important step. Of course, they offered, like in different school districts from the ministry, they offered different PD courses online. And they also started approving, as I said, other PD programs offered from other platforms. That was also very, very supportive.
Yeah.
There was also the ministry getting support from other private sector platforms, and they encouraged teachers to use such platforms to motivate students, you know, to add some gamification factor to the lessons.
Okay.
And we saw many, many collaborations between the ministry and these platforms during the pandemic to help, you know, the teachers have the resources they need and ease on the pressure that they were feeling that time.
That's great. You know, an online professional development platform sounds like an amazing idea. My question would be, how are teachers encouraged to participate in these online platforms? Because as you're talking, I can sense that teachers are already overwhelmed with so many responsibilities. And sometimes when you're working from home, it's actually more work than when you're working at school.
Of course.
So how would teachers be incentivized to or encouraged to actually participate in online professional development workshops?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because I think the ministry realized, of course, that teachers need a motivation. So one of the things they did is that they connected the PD hours that the teachers are getting from these online courses to the incentive and promotion system of teachers. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to be promoted, if you want to be considered for any promotions, or if you want to move, because in Saudi, in public schools, if you want to move from one city to another or from one district to another, you have to cover certain criteria. So they would actually consider the PD hours that you took, and they encouraged the teachers to include all of the PD certificates that they took during the year to upload it on also another HR system, if I can say, that is only used for the teachers of the Ministry of Education to uh-huh. make sure that they have approved these hours in their incentive system, and that the ministry has approved it, of course. So we saw that teachers were encouraged to document all of the PD that they took. And also, yeah, and you would be surprised, Salman, to see the teachers, without even having an incentive, they were intrinsically motivated to find, you know, tools and new ways of how to motivate their students, how to get or learn the new skills that will enable them to achieve their learning outcomes in these new new circumstances that we're living in. And really, we were amazed from what we saw, whether government or private sector teachers. And this really helped us also as a private sector to try to provide more for these teachers, because they don't just want general pedagogy courses. No, they want more specific courses, courses that also supports them in their well-being, in coaching their students, in growth mindset, in digital intelligence, DQ, digital safety. So I saw that the teachers really, during the past year in Saudi, they have expanded their horizons, if I may say, and they're looking at education or teaching as more comprehensive, and not just, delivering the curriculum and getting the learning outcomes achieved. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I know, like, teachers are amazing. Even here in New York, because I work with teachers, I see that they go above and beyond. And especially now with the pandemic, teachers really go the extra mile to make sure that they meet the needs of their students, and to look at education at not just, as you said, delivering the content, but as a social emotional component as well, that students particularly need at this time, you know, with all that's happening around the world. So let's move to IMCAN now. You can tell us a little bit more about IMCAN, how the idea of IMCAN came up, and what's the contribution of IMCAN to teacher growth and development in Saudi Arabia?
Sure. So back in 2014, it was me and Dr. Munira Jamjoum, my partner, and Sara Zaini. We were all very passionate about education, but each one of us had a different job in education also. Mm-hmm. I was working in the field of gifted and talented programs. Munira was in the Public Evaluation Commission. Sara was teaching at the Teachers College in Jeddah. But we all felt that we needed to do something more. So we got together and we, brainstormed some ideas, and then we came up with the idea of a company that provides school development services. We noticed that in Saudi there were many private schools that needed support, but they knew that they needed to improve their quality, but they didn't know where to go. It was either the ministry or experts, freelancing experts, or non-Saudi based companies. So that's when we decided to start that, and alhamdulillah, we developed from there. After that, we started noticing the need in the market for more than that. So there was a need for content creation, curriculum development, edtech, education technology, services, and also advisory, education advisory. So you had consulting and advisory companies in Saudi doing education projects, but they weren't specifically experts in education, such as global names like McKinsey or BCG and also others in Saudi. So there was also this need of having experts from Saudi Arabia who had this quality education and quality services and knowledge of the system and knowledge of the society, who can provide this kind of consulting. And alhamdulillah, that's when we added also the consulting services. And from then, we were able to create this amazing portfolio of clients from different sectors, government, private, nonprofit, international clients even. And every year we see ourselves as a very agile company. We always try to add the services that we feel the need for. Definitely, we also want to contribute to supporting everyone in the field of education. So we would also produce content. So we're producing a blog, we produce reports. We also are having an annual school conference where we invite all of the private and international schools in Saudi. We invite teachers, school leaders to share their knowledge and experience with each other. So alhamdulillah, we developed ourselves as experts in education in Saudi Arabia. And we were able to also build very important partnerships in Saudi and also outside Saudi. So for example, we are the partners, the only Saudi partners of Cambridge International Examinations, which is one of the biggest curriculum providers in the world and qualifications, of course. So we're very proud of that. We also developed partnerships with DQ Institute in Singapore, who are concerned about digital intelligence. And we also worked with different other national partners on different initiatives that supported education and its stakeholders.
That's great, Basma. It's very impressive. And I particularly like the part where you said you needed experts from the country to actually provide the services. And I think this is one thing that we are lacking in some countries around the world, like especially having lived and worked in the Middle East. I see that sometimes there is a gap in having experts from, you know, the country give back and try to develop. So that's one thing that really distinguishes IMCAN. Do you want to tell us maybe for people who do not speak Arabic, the meaning of IMCAN and what IMCAN really stands for? Because I think the name itself is also very powerful.
Sure. So IMCAN is means IMCANI or possibility. So we wanted something that also starts with an E to relate it to education. So it was IMCAN education. As you said, Yeni, the meaning of the word was very powerful. And our slogan is making it happen. So I think that really matches our values and what we are trying to achieve every day. What also is distinguishing us, in my opinion, that we're almost a 95% female team. So that is really empowering also for Saudis. I think also in the past couple of years, Saudi women have really excelled in different areas. But yani, I really feel proud that me and my partner started this company before this empowerment push, if I can say, yani, came out.
Yes.
And we really felt, as women leaders in this field, we really felt the change in the past 7 years. And it's really amazing. I'm so proud of what we've done so far and what have been established in Saudi Arabia, and really I feel we're so lucky to be in this time where women are giving these opportunities, and even for us, you know, to be viewed from like, you know, government sector, like different ministries or other officials to see that Saudi women can actually accomplish something like that, something that has the local expertise and also international standards. So that was really a big achievement.
That's great. Okay, Basma, I think there is also ANAB.
Yeah.
So do you want to speak about this as well?
Of course. So ANAB is the idea of ANAB came actually from us doing different PD courses for teachers. ANAB is our teacher training platform. It only provides courses for teachers and educators in Arabic. So ANAB is a sister company of IMCAN. Mm-hmm. We have developed ANAB back in 2018. When we believed that there was starting to be, there's a shift happening in the Arab world in general towards teachers and different, professionals seeking online courses. Of course, internationally, there was Coursera and other, of course, important platforms. So we wanted to provide such a platform, but for Arab speakers, Arab-speaking teachers.
Yeah.
And from 2018 until today, we have managed to get more than 60,000 teachers.
Wow.
From all over the world. So we have from Saudi, Egypt, UAE, Morocco, Algeria, Turkey. It was, alhamdulillah, a very big step for us to have this platform. We always try to provide very high level content, covering all of the areas that concern teacher. So not just teaching and pedagogical courses, but also courses related to teacher skills, their own well-being. We also try to partner with different entities to provide courses that are covering teachers' needs, such as, for example, we partnered with the Ministry of Health in Saudi to provide a course for teachers on how to support students during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We are now also, we partnered also with Queen Rania Teachers Academy. It's one of the most important teacher academies, nonprofit in Jordan. We're very proud of that. We have also a partnership with Cambridge International and now recently with Harvard Graduate School of Education. So we're always trying to provide the best courses for teachers in Arabic.
That's great. I love the fact that it's provided in Arabic because I believe there was a gap in that previously.
Definitely, definitely.
There is a lot that is offered to teachers in English and in other languages, but in Arabic, it's still an area that needs, you know, a little bit more development. Exactly. And I'm very happy to see that ANAB is doing that at this time. So what future initiatives or programs are you working on to better support teachers in your country? You can think about maybe any future programs that IMCAN or ANAB is planning to launch, or any anything specific during the pandemic or in general.
Sure. So for example, in ANAB, there are different courses that are launching right now. We're always trying in ANAB to find the gap in the market. So based on the projects and the studies that we're doing in IMCAN, we know that, for example, there was a need in the market for qualified early child care providers. In Saudi, you don't have that as much. And you don't have one entity that is providing these kinds of qualifications. So we partnered up with CASH, which is an international provider for qualifications for early childhood. Mm-hmm. And we are now introducing a course in Arabic for early childhood providers to be certified caregivers. So that is a big step. We also have, as I said, the initiative with Harvard Graduate School of Education, with the middle, professional learning initiative for the Middle East teachers. And we are trying to, as I said, cover skills such as agile education, you mm-hmm. know, and now you need this agile education, agile thinking, which are the skills that is needed for the future of education in Saudi and also, of course, around the world. For IMCAN, we're always trying to create a difference through the projects we are working on. So, for example, we have now some projects with the private education commission. So we're trying to work on nationalization of teachers, since it's a big demand now in private and international mm-hmm. Schools in Saudi. We're always trying to bridge the gap between the policymakers and the beneficiaries, who are the teachers, the parents, of course, and the students, in providing the needs of schools and education in Saudi. We also have the PDQ, which is the professional development qualification for teachers, and that is a certificate approved by Cambridge International. We're offering it in three different areas, in education leadership, in teaching with digital technologies, and in teaching and learning. So that is also an internationally certified program that we are also always annually having. And we have it completely online, so the teacher can get certified online. I think now our focus in general is to always be flexible, be agile, provide our programs and our services for teachers and for other educators in whatever the circumstance is. The goal is always to achieve the learning and not focus on having it face-to-face or online, but just to get the knowledge and skills across and be able also to assess the impact of these yes. programs on the teachers and on the beneficiaries in general.
So Basma, my question now to you is, as an educator and as an agent of change, because you're really trying to change things and change the system and improve the quality of teaching and learning, what has the pandemic taught you as an educator in terms of systems and measures that are needed to be developed in the future to best support teachers at times of crisis in Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think the most important thing, as I said, was to approve the government and the Ministry of Education to be more flexible in approving these professional development programs, as we said, have a less centralized method or strategy in managing schools and school districts, giving autonomy more to the school leaders, you know, because they know their schools better and they know their teachers better. So I believe this is what I would love to see more in the public sector, for sure. For the private sector, I would like to see more standards or national standards to be followed. Unfortunately, in Saudi, we still do not have national standards for schools. It's been a work in progress for a couple of years now for the private, for the Public Education Evaluation Commission. Still it is not being applied to all of the international and national and private schooling, which is causing a little bit of lack of quality, if I can say, in some areas. So definitely that is something that I would love to see in the future. And of course, I'd love to see more resilient education system, you know, a system that focuses on the skills more than the amount of information that the students are being given, focuses on the skills of the teachers and not how many hours they took in programs, in PD programs, or how many hours they spent with the students, but how are they looking at the whole education process and focusing on expanding the students' knowledge overall. And definitely, I would love to see different schools models, if I can say, or different models of schools. I think after the pandemic, education will never be the same again. Schools will never be the same again. And the teachers also have to adapt to that. So definitely, I would love to see more flexibility and openness in that to try to cover or find the needs of all the teachers and the students in their own different ways.
My last question, and this is a question that I like to ask everybody that I interview, since it's focused on Saudi, we will focus on Saudi Arabia today. Yeah. And I believe, as I mentioned earlier, there is something to learn from every country in the world. And, you know, we're all, the whole purpose of this podcast is to reflect and learn from each other. So what can the world, especially educators all over the world, take from the Saudi experience?
Oh, I love the question. In my opinion, the thing I think that I really admire about Ministry of Education and the schools the most was the speed in which they were able to provide an alternative to schools, which is the platform that I talked about earlier, which is Madrasati or my school. Mm-hmm. So actually, it was really fast. The time they took from school closures in March until the platform was released. So definitely, of course, there were other initiatives before the platform, but I think the platform came as a result of all the initiatives that the ministry was trying out before that. So I think this is something other countries can learn from Saudi. They didn't really care about the infrastructure or the, you know, the quality of the platform as caring as much as caring about just getting it out there and getting teachers and students and parents to use it. And then they worked on developing the product, and in product sector we call that an MVP, so minimum viable product. So this is what they actually did. They released the platform, they actually evaluated the platform, they took feedback from the teachers and the students and the users in general, and they tried to modify accordingly. And they've been improving it ever since. It's been 1 year now, almost, since the release of the platform. Mm-hmm. And I think the work that has been done is really magnificent so far. Definitely, there are areas of improvement, of course, such as any other educational platform. Mm-hmm. But still, I believe the speed and the agility that they're working with is a very good lesson to learn.
So just to clarify that, so the app is like it's a platform for all the schools.
Yes, exactly, or public schools.
That's great. That's definitely something that other educators can think about and reflect on. So, Asma, that was great. I really enjoyed our interview. And I think
the work
that you're doing in MCAN and ANAB is just remarkable. It's very nice to see examples, especially women-led examples around the world that aim to develop communities and, you know, bring change to people. So it's from the people to the people, which is
exactly
great. Yes. Is there anything else you would like to add? Maybe
I would like to say, thank you for having this idea and shedding the lights on such examples. And I agree with you. Unfortunately, maybe not many countries are good at highlighting their achievements, or especially achievements that are done by women in education. So I'm so glad that you're doing that. Thank you. And we're always, you know, open to partnerships. We're always looking at improving the services and quality of education overall, and that's our purpose.
Yes.
And we always strive for that.
Yes, we are going to be hearing more from speakers in Saudi Arabia in the next few episodes, so that everybody would get like a clear picture about, you know, the country and kind of develop like an understanding of the education system in Saudi Arabia and how it's being supported at this time. And I hope we would be able to speak again maybe about like different topics in the future. But today I think this was great, and I think people would find this very useful. Thank you so much, Basma.